If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned in to the newest edition of the Punch List MMA Podcast. It's your boy Dale Lippin in here. I'm so hyped I had to play that intro. I almost played it twice, man. I almost played that intro twice. It's your boy Dale Lippin in here with Trey Van Buskirk. Trey, what's going on, man? This is a monumental show, man. This is the best show we've ever done, and we haven't even done it yet.
We're a minute 25 in. I've got to say, so we sweep the main card. We have our first perfect card ever, and now we're going YouTube live. We've got production value upon us. I'm just curious. We go perfect card again. What's next?
I don't know. Listen, if we can go perfect again, I really think that we should probably just quit our day jobs. I really feel like that's probably next. We're super close to quitting our day jobs. I think that that's probably the next play is that. Now, that was the first perfect card we've ever had as far as the show goes. However, I did get close to a perfect card before, way back when, and I got, dude, it was, I was thwarted by a Yoel Romero, Jacare Souza split decision that did not go my way. Had I gotten that, it would have been a perfect card prelim to the top, as far as perfection goes. But I'll take this one. This COVID-19 rattled 7-0. Nothing makes me happier.
Yeah, I mean, to our benefit, we'll down to a 7-fight card. Had like 4 fights fall out, but 7 fights, all, you know, relatively decisive decisions, no erroneous judging by any means. We picked it through and through.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with that, right, though? So we've had nights way back when where we've gone 0-5. So going 7-0, I'm still taking it, right? I'm still going to take it. One of the other things I am going to take, Trey, is I am going to take my ass to the mailbox, and I'm going to, you know what? I actually don't have to go to the mailbox because it gets delivered directly to my door. So if I ever want the world's best, most high-quality meat delivered directly to my door, you know how I have to do that? It's going to go to stayclassymeats.com. I can use promo code FIST, and I'm going to save 10% on the entire order. No GMO, no hormone. Just the way the good Lord intended, man. You know where your food comes from. Your food's got a name. It's got a face. And it's Stay Classy Meats. It gets no better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple things. You got to treat your body right, and you got to treat your body right with what you're wearing. Another great sponsor of ours, Allegiance Clothing. Guys, go to allegianceclothing.com. Type in the code PUNCH. That's going to get you 15% off site-wide. See this American flag behind me?
I do. It's very patriotic.
Thank you. That, I've got the San Diego skyline behind me. But I want to rep the American flag because I am not wearing an Allegiance shirt. And usually if you are wearing an Allegiance shirt, you just exude the greatest country that is the United States. Mm-hmm. AllegianceClothing.com. Guys, utilize the code PUNCH. You'll get 15% off site-wide.
Yes. All right. So we did go a perfect 7-0. We're not going to say that any. We'll probably say a couple more times. But we did go a perfect 7-0. But Trey, we have a big show planned for tonight. This is a big fight weekend. We're going to kick things off with a little bit differently than we normally do, and we're going to talk Bellator. Primarily, we do a lot of UFC, the occasional boxing, but we do want to talk Bellator. Bellator is really great this week for a couple different reasons. One, they're pulling the classic Bellator where they're giving us 2 cards back to back, one on Friday and one on Saturday.
Yep.
So when we get that Friday card, and there's something special happening on that Friday card. Do you know what that is?
That is a couple things. One, we have our first ever sponsored fighter walking into the cage, and he's not just walking in on the early prelims, the prelims. This dude's strutting his way into the cage on the main card, Dale.
On the main card. He'll be 3rd from the top. And not only that, he's going to be joining us here in a few minutes, which is fantastic. I'm super hyped about that. We get to talk to him for a little bit. But here's the thing, is he's taken on a challenger in Ed Ruth, who, you know, as you know, Ed Ruth is a credentialed NCAA American wrestling champion, an absolute stud of a fighter himself. This is a better look for us than it was even a couple weeks ago. And we'll tell him this when he comes in. But this is great, man. I'm so excited about this card for that exact reason, because he's coming in as a little bit of an underdog, which I think gives us a chance to make some money. And we get to rep that Punchless MMA flag on the Paramount Network for everybody to see. Look, man, I couldn't be happier, dude. I mean, the thing, this is a direct result of, you know, the growth of the channel, the growth of the people, the Punchless MMA fans. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I'm trying not to fanboy out too much, but I am excited about it.
No, this is a super exciting fight. So Taylor, we'll get into the intricacies of what he sees from his lens in coming into this fight, but at a plus 240, these are the types of fights we've seen in the COVID era, where the underdog comes in, the aggressor, and is able to lay it on thick and hopefully get the quick finish. Taylor is an aggressive striker as it is. If you go back to his LFA days, the guy just moves forward, insane striking, comes in heavy, built like an absolute granite. I think Ed Ruth, who's actually moving up for this, is going to have a tall task. And, you know, people, you know, not aware, this is Taylor's debut, but it's going to be a monumental one.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So let's talk about things that have been around for a long time, like geological features, one of which being Alistair Overeem. Fifth round TKO finish over Augusto Sakai on Saturday, you know, capping off that run that we were on. We didn't necessarily, I mean, there wasn't a lot of people out there that thought he was going to get it done in the fifth round, but I really do believe, am I getting ahead of myself when I think Alistair Overeem has one more run left in him?
As I watched that fight, I literally, and I said this to many of the people that commented on our social channels, is we saw the 2020 version of the rope-a-dope. For the first three rounds, we saw Alistair up against the cage, just getting shots wailed on him from Augusto Sakai. You know, was that going to put him in damage? Yeah, absolutely. He had a full vulnerable zone for an uppercut that could have just knocked him out cold, but somehow he was able to bob, weave, you know, protect himself at all costs. And while doing that, draining Augusto Sakai, which we knew going into the later rounds, we've never seen Augusto Sakai go through five rounds. We know that his cardio, just based on his body type and how he carries his weight, would never go the distance. Smart, smart plan. And that's what you can get from a veteran.
Yeah, no, he used that veteran savvy. We're talking about a guy with nearly 70 professional fights. We knew that he was going to bring some sort of veteran wile into it. And we saw it firsthand. He literally just, you know, he's like that old head playing pickup hoops or whatever. He just literally was using the old crafty tricks to get it done. And then the takedowns that he landed in the fourth and the fifth round were just single leg dragging him across his body. Just very, you're exhausted and I kind of know what I'm doing style takedowns. Really thought that Overeem by submission might have been a good play there. And, you know, we actually put on Twitter as the event was happening, after the end of the second round, they had live betting. And they had Overeem at a plus 170 live. And I put on Twitter, plus 170 live on Overeem is an absolute gift from the gods. And sure enough, it ended up being exactly that. I'm happy to see him get a win. Team Elevation, 1-1 on the night. You know, the loss coming from a Montana De La Rosa. Looked good for spurts of that fight, but wasn't, you know, incredibly... I don't want to say impressed, because anybody that goes in the cage, I'm impressed by. But, you know, it just wasn't the showing I was anticipating out of her. And Vivian Arajal looked great. But let's talk about something. Let's talk about something real quick. Your boy, Michelle Pereira, slapping the shit out of Zalim Imadaev.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this for a second. My man, open hand slapped him. How disrespectful. How disrespectful was that?
He did a couple of that. He did also the perpendicular stance, looking over his back shoulder, the Conor McGregor, you know, let the guy circle off your back. He did the Nate and Nick Diaz stalked and slap. Not only did he do the stalked and slap, but he kissed it, fluttered it out wide, and landed it flush.
He did do a little jazz hand with it, didn't he? He kind of hit it with the finger, with the wrist. He gave it with the floaty. You're right. Yeah. He did do that. I didn't. Now that I think about it, he really did. The only thing was it was more like a whack-a-mole so much as like the Stockton slap is a back and forth kind of setup.
True.
But it was still just disrespectful.
We got to give him credit though. We said this going into this fight. It was a really, really tough one to pick, because was Michelle Pereira going to rein it back in? Were we going to see a little bit more conservative striking? And I will say, you could just tell that he was bursting from the scenes. He's like, oh, just one backflip, one gainer off the cage, one weird somersault, whatever it is. But he didn't do it. I mean, he definitely did a couple, you know, theatrical things, but he reined it in and stayed pretty conservative.
Yeah, I don't speak Portuguese, but I feel like probably a lot of what his corner was yelling to him was stay composed, stay composed, stay composed, or something to that effect. So speaking of composure, while we're waiting for Taylor to get on here, let's talk about something real quick. They announced since our last recording that Colby versus Tyron Woodley is official for September 19th in Vegas. Looks to be probably the last Vegas card before they head out to Fight Island. Colby versus Tyron Woodley, it's finally happening. What are we anticipating here? Because Tyron Woodley doesn't appear that he's pulled the trigger, but man, is he talking a big game online right now?
Oh, he's talking a big game, and he's got mental warfare going on. He's got Jorge Masvidal, you know, going up to St. Louis to train with him. You know, while Colby hasn't really been training too much, you know, with Jorge, obviously with their split with Friendship, to have that and know that, like, in your earlier years when you're sleeping on the dude's couch and you know the guys, you know, everything the guy's about, there's a couple little tidbits he could definitely pick up. So while he's doing that for just show, or he's actually learning some tidbits from Jorge Masvidal, I'm sure it's weighing on Colby just a little bit.
Is Colby mentally ratable? I know at times he seems juvenile, but he talked all that shit against Usman and came in and looked composed and fought that fight intelligently. He did not fight it emotionally. You know, can we expect the same thing out of Colby in this Tyron fight? Because I would argue that Tyron versus Colby is a bigger rivalry than him versus Usman was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think from let's take a 60,000 foot view of this. I think that Colby is one of those people. He's the bully in high school where you just know behind just the ever so little bit of the person's skin, he's the most insecure person on the planet. But to your point, though, you'd think someone that's so outlandish, so boisterous, all that stuff, that he would get rattled, but he hasn't. I don't think he's gone fairly quiet on social media. So he's definitely focused. He's within his own camp, which is Colby Inc. I think he's coming to play. And, you know, Tyron, who's been eroding ever since his three fights ago, since his Usman fight, it's a tough task for him. And I think that the lines that Vegas has put forth, you know, say the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, so right as it stands right now, Colby's a pretty sizable favorite and justifiably so. You know, Tyron is talking all kinds of shit like he's going to let his hands go finally. You know, he's put a post out today saying, I hear you. The fans are all telling me, I hear you. I promise I'm going to put hands on this dude, this, that, and the other. Can we believe that, though? Can we really believe that? I mean, we're talking about a guy that's literally been talking about how war ready he's been for months now. He goes out, he fights Gilbert Burns, and then just sits there on his butt the entire time and doesn't do anything. So it was just a very interesting sort of setup. Another fight that I want to talk to you about was just announced prior to us coming on the air. Your girl, Carla Esparza, is taking on my girl, Amanda Ribas. So we literally get exactly what we talked about. I mean, you want this rivalry to exist so bad, right? You so badly want this rivalry to exist between me and you. If there's something that's going to divide us, it's this right here, because I know that you're all Cookie Monster and I'm not, dude. Amanda Ribas is going to destroy your girl.
I will say this fight does not suit her, but I commend Esparza for taking this fight. What's Esparza's number one trick? It's her wrestling and getting into the ground, staying in half guard, utilizing some ground and pound. But where do you not want to go with Amanda Ribas? The ground. Her submissions, her BJJ black belt is so legit. So is Esparza going to have to rely on her striking, which six episodes ago, great striking. I don't know. Maybe so.
I can't with you in the striking, dude. It's not good, man. It's just not. I want to believe you. I want to believe that it's there. I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. And that's fine. It is what it is in that regard. But here's the thing, right, is I think this is going to be a real test. Carla Esparza, while not a gatekeeper, has sort of embraced this mentality that she is a measuring stick for up-and-coming talent. And Amanda Ribas is the new chick on the block. And Ribas has got a fight in front of her. And Carla Esparza knows that any run back towards any semblance of title contention is going to run through is going to run through, you know, it's going to have to run through Hebus. So, you know, it is what it is, man. But listen, we can talk about chicks all day long. We can talk about girl fights. We're going to talk about grown men fighting here for a second. So without further ado, listen, I almost waxed the stream of my mustache up because I knew this dude was coming on. I was going to wax it up because I knew Taylor was coming on. Look at that mustache. So cool. Taylor, what's going on, man? Glad to have you on the show, man. How are you?
No, I'm doing well, man. I'm just hanging out in the hotel room. 65 degrees in here to keep my body temperature down.
Right?
Yeah.
Getting ready to make weight, man.
How's that weight coming?
It's good. I'm still about 10, 12 out right now. So.
Okay.
Nice. So it looks like you've been training at ATT Portland. You took the RV all the way to Connecticut?
No, I did that for my last fight in Vegas, but I've actually just been flying out here. I take the RV though, and I train in Portland. I stay there for the week and then head back.
Nice. Good deal.
So let's talk about 2 weeks ago. Was it 2-3 weeks ago? We initially wanted to have you on. Fight fell off. Bigger fight now, man. Ed Ruth, bigger fight, bigger opponent, bigger platform. I mean, that's making the best out of a bad situation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a huge opportunity. One of my teammates, Austin Vanderford, he fights for Bellator as well. Potentially was him and I were both offered to Ed, and Austin ended up having some stuff come up, and so I got the opportunity, man. Pretty stoked.
He got that Rona. That's what it was.
Yeah. Dude. It's whack, dude.
So how's Bellator taking care of you guys? I mean, are you doing like multiple tests? What's happening with all that? What do you guys got going on?
Yeah, so they test us before we can get on the plane. They test us right when we get here. We quarantine just for like the first day when we're here, and then I believe they test us the day before the fight too, or something. So
okay. Yeah. So
are they do.
So at ATT Portland, Austin Vanderford is a perfect scenario for this, being that he has COVID. It looks like he's been posting that Paige has got COVID too, or at least some remnants of it. What are you guys doing? Are you trying with big fights like Ed Ruth on deck? Like, you need to do everything to keep safe. Are you guys doing any practices at ATT or?
I don't know. It's kind of a small group. I mean, there's, you know, 30 of us that come in and out of there and train often, but, all this Corona stuff that's been happening to Vanderford, he's actually been in Florida the whole time at ATT there. And, you know, I don't know. I think if I was him and I would have got, you know, tested positive the first time, I probably would have just came home after the quarantine and maybe just stuck with this small group. Cause, you know, Florida gyms, there's a lot of people coming and going. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this. They booked you for a fight in the middle of hunting season. What's going on with that? I mean, what are we doing here?
A lot of my buddies are talking trash. Like, dude, they better not schedule you in the middle of hunting season. And sure as shit, it happened. But, you know, it's my job. I gotta, you know, it's my priority. I gotta do what I gotta do as far as fighting goes. But as soon as I get back, I'm hitting them mountains, gonna go find me some meat.
Right. Has it been tough? I mean, you were living in San Diego, now up to Portland, so you got way more hunting grounds, I imagine. Has it been tough to like keep your weight relatively within the zone you want with the amount of hunting you're doing?
It's not too bad, man. I only was able to go out for like 3 days last weekend, and then I jetted over to Portland. But I'm actually living in Sisters, Oregon right now. So like, lucky enough, when I get home, if there's a deer or anything floating around that's got any kind of antlers on it, I can put it down and get some meat. So it's nice because I live out on a ranch compound out in Sisters. I'm some friends of mine, and it's a pretty sweet setup. So there's sometimes just meat walking right by. You got food waiting for you.
Yeah, nothing like having you on while you're trying to make weight and just talking about food the whole time.
Yeah, sorry, man.
So listen, I do want to say something real quick before we get off topic, is that it's probably like the coolest thing from like a side project thing that I've ever been a part of. See, like having you going to walk out on Friday with our logo on you, man. That was like, that is literally like, I don't know. I try not to fanboy out about it, but dude, that's so cool.
We'll do it.
No, dude, it's awesome. I'm pretty stoked. And I got to thank Roy for hooking it up, always taking care of me. He's such a good guy. And I'm like, dude, I don't expect you to do this stuff for me. He's like, no, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
Always good people. Punchless boys on there too. So I was like,
that's so cool. Allegiance has been so good to us. Yeah, and Roy's been a legend for sure. But yeah, when you walk out with that thing, oh, you don't think that Dale and I are going to be jumping up on the couch, just like take as many screenshots as possible. That's my boy.
You watch your old fights and you have Jocko's name across like your crotch area. And I'm like, dude, we're in such elite company to have like Jocko and then fill the spot where Jocko once was. I mean, dude, that's so crazy. And I saw you shouted him out on Instagram today. That's illustrious company to be in, man. So thank you.
So Taylor, okay, so your fight fell out 3 weeks ago. Now you got Ed Ruth coming up. I heard something as of recently that you were trying like valiantly to get another fight going, and you were just constantly in Bellator's ear, like, come on, let's get something going. I'm ready to go. But a lot of guys were kind of ducking, dodging you. If you were to like kind of look through the lens of one of your other competitors, you know, why they're kind of anti you with this being your big, you know, debut, what do they kind of look at you and kind of are fearful of?
I don't know. I mean, I won a national title. You know, granted, it was NAIA. It wasn't the biggest division, but I was recruited as a Division I wrestler out of high school, and I, you know, was kind of a troublemaker and ended up going a different route, kind of quitting wrestling for a while, but I ended up at Southern Oregon, wrestled my ass off. I was always, like, number one going into the national tournament, and I only got a title, but as far as wrestling goes, man, people are scared of that, like, I'm going to try to launch you on your head if I get the opportunity. So I think people are like, oh, well, shit, I can't out-wrestle them. Then they see that I've knocked some dudes out, and, you know, I had an 8-second knockout. I've knocked a few guys out on my feet with my hands. And then, obviously, elbows of death coming down, giving the people's elbow and a couple other bites. I don't know. I think people are, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know if I can.
They don't want that.
Yeah, there's no guarantees for me here, and I don't know. Fighters aren't just the tough guys who fight anybody like they used to be back in the day. There's some still out there, but not everybody's like that.
So what kind of fight are you hoping out of Ed? Because I think a lot of people have been frustrated with him as far as when he got into Bellator, because they expected him to come in and put on just this wrestling, you know, showcase. And he's largely just kind of fell in love with his hands. You, on the other hand, you know, you can kind of get it done anywhere. So do you want to test yourself wrestling wise with him? First of all, don't downplay the fact that you're a national champion. That's you worked your ass off for that. You won a national championship, embrace that. Second of all, do you want to throw hands with Ed? Because I would love to see you throw hands with Ed, because I think that's highlights in the making, man. This is fireworks. Yeah.
No doubt. No, I plan to go Chuck Fitz with Ed. We'll see. You know, I don't know. A lot of people, even non-wrestlers, they feel my power punches whizzing by, or if I even clip you with one, they're like, oh shit, I don't want to wrestle this guy. So, you know, I'm with that. I got gigantic hands that big forearms that I just hit hard. So, I don't know. I'd love to just stand and get it with Ed, but who knows how it's going to go. It's probably going to be a gnarly wrestling match, or we're just going to get after it on our feet. So.
I love it. I love it. So let me ask you that. I'm sure you've got this a million times over, but the origin, right? We're going by Tombstone. Are we doing it because of an affinity for the Wild West, or is it because that's where you're trying to send people?
I think because I buried a few my first few opponents.
There you go. And yeah, hell yeah.
I grew up like a fourth, fifth generation cowboy. I rodeoed into high school off and on, and I've just, you know, I still like to rope and get out there and, you know, put on my cowboy hat, some boots. No, I still like to live that life. And, you know, most of my friends are, you know, cowboys. And I don't know, Tombstone's always been a great, you know, favorite movie of mine. So the name just kind of stuck, man.
Right. As I said, I was trying to wax up the stash because I knew you were coming on, and I was trying to get a little something going, man. And yours is better. Yours is better. It's thicker. It's got the curl to it. I got this straight hair kind of thing. I've been trying to get Trey to grow his out, because look at him. He literally wakes up with it, with that shadow, and he just will not grow a beard out.
No, I'm not ready, dude. I'm not ready. That thing looks well conditioned. It looks feathered and lethal. So
you guys bigger on this app or whatever the hell this thing is? Can I make you bigger so I can kind of see you guys?
We can switch the I don't know if it'll let us. I don't know if it'll let us mess with the formatting so much. There you go. Is that better?
Yeah, I just zoomed in a little bit on you guys. I can see that.
I gotcha. I can always just throw you on the big screen too. But so what's the rest of the week look like, man?
Let's see. Beltre is pretty cool. I mean, we're out here a week early, so they got everything kind of spread out. We just have like one thing to do every day. Tomorrow I'm going to, you know, I've been water loading, so lots of water, but tomorrow I'm going to start cutting back on that. I'll get a little cut in, see where my weight's at in the evening, hopefully float to weight. So what, tomorrow's Wednesday, right? Yeah. So
are they doing any type of media promotion prior? Like, are you doing any type of like tables or interviews or anything like that, like media row?
I think that, yeah, Nelly brought that. I think at 5 o'clock tomorrow we meet with, you know, commentators and stuff, but I'm not really sure what media is going to be looking like. Like my last fight, I didn't even make it this far. You know, I think I got news Tuesday that my opponent couldn't fight. Then there was a 205er in the same position who was like, no, I don't want to fight that dude. Yeah. So ended up getting strapped. But yeah, we'll see. Got a commentator, you know, interviews tomorrow, and then Thursday we weigh in 9 to 10. I think is our weigh in, and then we do, you know, mock weigh-ins, whatnot, right after. So.
Nice, awesome. Nice. So with that, so I always wondered with the commentator questions or interviews or whatever, is it like really formal, informal, or is a bunch of you just filing in? What, I mean, what's that look like for you? I mean, how, you know, is that kind of like this or?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Bellator's will be like, but, you know, previous promotion when I fought for LFA, like I just sat down at a table and all of them were sitting there just firing questions. And, you know, it was just like a funny dialogue between all of us, but they just kind of want to get to know you, I guess, and know who they're talking about.
So are you gonna walk in with like a bolo tie and cowboy hat, or like go the Colby Covington America jacket? What are we wearing?
No, man, I'll probably just rock the walkout gear. I think as I get a little, you know, further in my career and have a little more money to spend, it's hard for me to even bring the cowboy hat, any of that shit here. Traveling with it's a real pain in the ass. So right now I'm just gonna walk out his old tombstone and my allegiance punch list. Got a little American ethanol on there. Sponsors are a little thin right now with the whole COVID thing going on. So,
right. That's good. It's good broadcast for the three that you got on there. One thing I wanted to ask you about, and actually I feel like you of all people are probably the most comfortable in this type of situation. So coming off the Contender Series fight, you walked into what was a very like, there's no crowd. It was dead silence. So you're going into another type of thing where it's dead silence. So a lot of people would look to you like, hey, you kind of have the advantage prior to going into whether it was Contender or this fight. Do you think that you would like thrive more with the crowd around you? Or do you kind of like that you can get direction from your coaches?
Honestly, I think the crowd is cool. Now that I've like doing the Contender Series, like, man, this is weird. It's silent in here. Like, you hear people farting and stuff. You're like, dude, it's quiet here. No.
But, yeah.
It will be nice. I mean, it's, you know, it's just going to be kind of a closed environment. My coach will be talking, you know, doesn't have to yell at me and stuff. So it'll be interesting. Like, I have a little experience there. I think my last fight, I got a little excited trying to prove something maybe to Dana. And, you know, I don't know. I got rocked right at the beginning, sat down, and then I, you know, got my
bit down on the mouthpiece and started swinging.
I got rear naked. Like, people are like, well, why'd you chop so fast? I'm like, dude, the guy had my jaw. His arm was in my mouth. I was like, dude, right. This guy break my freaking jaw. But it is what it is, man. Part of fighting is losing, but it's not a loss. It's a lesson. So
absolutely. Right.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because you've been generous with your time. I know you got other stuff you got to do real quick. The guy you were supposed to fight a couple weeks ago, and for the life of me, I cannot remember his name. I tried to do some research on him. Yeah. I tried to do some research on him beforehand, and he's like really big into conspiracy theories. Like, him and Pat Miletich are like thick as thieves as far as conspiracy theorists go.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
So with you, you know, spending a lot of time in the woods, and then especially in Oregon, you know, that's prime Bigfoot country. I'll leave you with this. Is Bigfoot real?
Fair question.
So that's funny. I've never experienced anything like that, but my dad has been a timber faller for 30 plus years. He's logged literally anywhere you can log on this side of the US. And, he's like, hey, there ain't no Bigfoot. I just see it. No damn Bigfoot out there. But hey, you never know, dude. I'm a conspiracy guy. I don't know about Bigfoot, but I know there's a lot of other crazy shit going on.
Yeah. Well, it's 2020. I'm literally just waiting for the aliens to show up at any moment and just be like,
no,
it's our turn now.
No joke, dude. I don't know if it can. I mean, I guess I shouldn't speak too soon because it could get a little weirder before the year ends.
It's been one thing after another, man. I can't get it together. It's just as soon as you think it can't get weirder, something else ramps up. So I'm with you that I don't think Bigfoot's real. I don't necessarily think that that's a thing. But I think that there was probably at one point in time.
I was looking up stats or something the other day, and I've seen it in movies that, like, in the Oregon wilderness, like, there's an insane amount of people that just go missing, like, all the time. Like, it's thousands and thousands of people just go missing. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's kind of weird. I don't know if it's Bigfoot or getting abducted. Who knows?
I think they made a documentary about it, didn't they? Isn't it called, like, the 4400 or something like that? I think there's a documentary about it. It's wild how many people go missing out there. Yeah.
Well, I'm out there all the time. I have friends that literally that is all they do. Like, their free time, that's what they're doing. If they're not working, they're in the mountains, period. And I don't know. I'm not gone missing or anything like that. My buddy stuck a hatchet in his leg the other day. That was pretty wild. But that's about the only crazy thing that's happened out there.
Yeah, super minor on a Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's just regular Oregon woodsman stuff. That's okay. Yeah. A little hatchet. Yeah. Like, no big deal. Yeah, that's wild. All right, look, I'll let you get out of here, Taylor. You've been super generous, man. Whenever time and media and everything else, we've been cooking up a conspiracy theory episode at some point in time. We've got Laura Sanko said she'll come on and talk conspiracy theories with us. So maybe what we can do is we can get all these people from the MMA community that are all, you know, sort of in here. We'll just get like 15 damn people in here and have everybody barking off. So, yeah.
I'm totally down. You got to get Pat Miletich in there for sure, dude. I see the stuff in the post.
Yeah. Dude, some of the stuff that with Pat, though, is weird, man. I listen to Conspiracy Farm a little bit, but some of the stuff that dude's on is strange, man. Like Emerald Tablets. Yeah. Like, have you listened to his thing with the Emerald Tablets?
No.
Oh man, that's a different one too. Yeah,
we'll get Eddie Bravo to host the whole thing, and we'll just have a good old time.
Well, look at it. See, there's the allegiance plug right at the top. Look, I should have worn my shirt, and I didn't.
Oh, I got it right here for the boys. Boom, dude, I'll be rocking this tomorrow.
Oh, well, way to make me look like a dickhead. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah. So that Trey, that's the walkout shirt.
That's the walkout shirt, right?
Oh, outstanding. Yeah. So can we get like a
let's fucking go, Taylor, dude. Let's go, dude.
that's what we need for sure. Oh man, that's great. That's absolutely great. All right, Taylor, appreciate you, man. You know, you got a standing invitation, man. You can come on whenever you want, dude.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Whatever. It's kind of your show.
Woo!
Yeah. Here we go.
Hit me up anytime you want me to come on and shoot the shit. Right. How funny was it that the second you came on, I clicked on it and you guys were talking about Ed 9. I was like, hey.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second because I was telling Trey, this is that that guy has his own podcast as well. And I was just on here sort of getting all our backgrounds ready and everything. And he hopped on and was like, hey, what's going on? I was like, oh, we got a guy coming in and he's fighting Ed Ruth. And that's a huge thing for us. You know, and I said, it's a really tough matchup. It's going to be a great fight. And then you popped in and I was like, oh shit, did I say anything I wasn't supposed to say? What's going on here? I hope he's not pissed.
I was wondering, you were like, oh shit, Taylor's on here. What's up, Taylor?
Yeah.
No, I heard that guy go off a little bit on Ed, and I was like, dude, anyone can say what they want about me, man. I'm going to go out and do what I do. I get after it. As Jocko says, get after it. I go out and get after it. And I'm just excited to have this opportunity to showcase my hard work, man.
All right. Awesome.
We're excited, Taylor.
Appreciate it, Taylor.
You didn't say anything bad, bro. You're good.
Hell no, man. I know what pays my bills, man. I ain't biting a mouth that feeds me, bro. You're going to kill this dude. Plus 240, get it done, bro.
Yeah, dude. All the cash on Taylor. Dude. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it. So, all right, Taylor. Appreciate you, man. Take care, buddy.
Take it easy. Thanks, fellas.
See you. All right, look at this right here, dude. One after another. Who is this handsome guy coming?
How you doing, brother?
All of a sudden, just back. I mean, it's just crazy how it happens. Patchy, first of
how
all,
you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Let's talk about a couple things real quick. Okay, look. This is it. The culmination of a dream realized. Juan Archuleta Saturday night. Dude, let me ask you all the textbook nonsensical media questions, and then we'll get into the meat of it, right? So first of all, Juan Archuleta said he's going to big brother you. Can we just go ahead and agree that's some bullshit?
Yeah, that's some bullshit, bro. Me and him trained together before, man. He's not big brothering me, and I was like a young cat when I trained with him. I think I was like 23 years old. I only had 4 fights, 4-0 at the time. And let me tell you, I'm going to smoke him on Saturday night.
Well, that's good. That's good. I want to tell you a bit of a story real quick, okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of an origin story on how you came to be in my life outside of this show, okay? So so my brother, my brother's a Marine, right? And he went to high school. Or no, I'm sorry, he didn't go to high school. He was in the Marines with a guy that you went to high school with. Okay. So my brother in the Marines went to high school with a guy that went to high school with you, right? So both of these guys meet in the Marines, and they're in Alabama, and you have a amateur fight or some sort of fight in Alabama. There you go.
I fought in Tuscaloosa.
Yep, there we go. Here he's right here. Okay. So basically what happens is they go see you fight in Tuscaloosa. My brother hits me up and goes, I just saw a guy that's going to be a world champion. You got to remember this name. You have to remember this name. And he tells me your name, and admittedly, Patchy sort of sticks in the head for forever, right?
Yeah.
I'm not really putting two and two together. And then you get signed to Bellator, and my man is like, this is the dude, remember? This is the guy. So you come out and just – you've been running roughshod all over the Bellator roster since then. But this kid saw you fight years ago and put that earmark out there saying, this is a guy to watch. This is a guy to watch. I mean, I'm blown away, man. Here we are. So you've been on the radar for a while.
Yeah, man. That was, I think I was 9-0 when I fought out there. So I was 8-0 as an amateur. I had all these finishes and stuff, man. Even in my amateur career, I never lost any rounds or nothing. And then I was finishing everybody, and I was in this Fighter Source tournament. That's what it was called. And they flew me out to Alabama to fight a guy that was like 13-3. And I think I submitted him in the first round, like rear naked choke. And ever since then, man, you know, basically ever since I was an amateur, I really did the same things as I'd done as a pro. I took it just as serious as I did now. So it was you know, it was no different. I was just a little younger. I just look a little younger. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, I feel like, I mean, we've seen you at Jackson Wink and looked at your training. You seem like you're never out of shape. Do you ever take kind of a little bit of an off season, or you just go, go, go? It doesn't look like you're gaining much weight. You're losing much weight. You look like you're just always ready to go.
Yeah. Like quarantine actually had me sit. Like I've never really taken too many injuries, and I've only been hit a couple times in like my 24 fights. I mean, I got like some stitches in my eye, some stitches on my head. And that kept me out of training for like maybe like a week. But like before quarantine, I never really had taken like, I'd say 2 full weeks, 14 days. I've never been out of the gym for like 6 years for like 2 full weeks. You know, I never stopped training. I like to train, you know, no matter what. Like I need to roll jiu-jitsu. That's like my therapy. I don't like, that's what I need to train in order to keep me like balanced, man. I don't like. If I'm not training, man, I'm like really not happy. It's crazy.
So we just asked Taylor this question actually, and it feeds directly into that. You know, I'm the same way. Like jiu-jitsu is my therapy as well. But you know, with COVID, and especially for you, who's got, you know, the biggest opportunity of your life right here, like how hesitant have you been with training partners, possibly contracting COVID? Have you taken like some safety parameters? Like what's been up to make sure that you're ready to go and you're going to be able to perform on Saturday?
Well, like my gym is open and stuff, so I've been training at Jackson Wink. I mean, they pretty much open and don't seem too much different than ever, bro, to be honest with you. That's like good. The training sessions might be a little bit smaller because they're not having like just the average everyday guy in there. But I mean, I'm training with like everybody on the mats, man. You know what I mean? And then like that's at Jackson's, of course. And then at home, they sent me off to fight. Like I fought very frequently last year. I think I had 3 fights in like 6 months. So I had a bunch of money saved. So like I just like basically rented out a building and fucking put all my mats in there and like just built my own facility in order to keep training during COVID because I was not about to sit. So I built my own facility and I trained with like maybe 4 people that I really, really know personally really well. And I just brought them all in, man. And we just kept training and it actually helped me because – a lot of times I don't listen to one of my coaches. His name's Art. He'll be in my corner. He's like an old school, like, military veteran. And, like, he runs me through all these strength and conditioning programs and all this stuff. And, like, man, like, he's always in Erie, PA. It's, like, 2 hours away from me. So I don't really, like, if he's there, he needs to be there for me to listen to his shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he needs to be right on me because it's unconventional. It's not like, you tell me to go spar, go roll, go hit the bag, go ground and pound, go do any of that stuff. I'm down for it. You know what I mean? But if you tell me to do like things that maybe I'm unconventional stuff that I maybe don't do often, it's hard for me to understand that routine or rhythm because I never really, you know, like had him run me through it. So like he ran me through it, like, let's say once every couple weeks or something. But now he was coming out multiple times a week during COVID, and that's when I started, like, getting strong. Like, my neck was growing. I was, like, getting really, like, staying the same weight, but I was, like, leaning out and getting, like, really strong, you know? Like, I'm not really – I just started feeling, like, damn, like, you know, like, last year I felt like I was, like, a boy compared to how I am now. Like, when I grab a hold of people, I mean, I'm choking out, like, dudes that are, like – man, I choke out guys that were in the UFC at heavyweight, bro, if I'm rolling with them. You know, I've done that on the mat. You know, if I grab their neck, chin cup, anything, you know, I mean – my forearms are strong as fuck, so I could, like, I could choke, you know what I mean? I could choke people out better now, you know what I mean?
Because
he's got me, like, explode, like, different muscles. I don't know. It's not so to get bigger. It's, like, conventional muscle.
Right.
So, obviously, Juan doesn't go to the, doesn't want to go to the ground with you for obvious reasons. So, are we going to let them hands go or what? Because we know you got hands, too. So, I mean, what are we doing? You know, is that the hope? Or are you hoping he just, like, what do you want to see out of him? I mean, I know you'll take the fight wherever he'll give it to you, but, I mean, what's the hope?
Man, like, there really ain't no too much hope. Like, I don't feel like I need to get him to the ground. I never really felt like I need to get anyone to the ground. I kind of just, like, test that out in the beginning. If they stuff it, we're like, let's fight, you know what I mean? But if I could just put him on their back and, like, pass their guard, not get damage done to me and put him away, you know, that's the healthiest way, you know? I mean, who wants to get, like, a few times, man, guys do some elbows off bottom and dumb shit, you know what I mean? I've been cut. So it's like, why would I want to, I don't know, why would I want to make it a harder night if, for guys that kind of, like, shy away from it and just, like, elbow to the back of the head when you get on top of them because they're all, like, spastic and shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just put them down. But, like, for Juan, man, like, I don't even think it's so much of, like, just the hands and stuff. Man, I think, like, my elbows, my knees, my feet, like all my tools, I think, like, I have, like, oblique kicks, like, stuff that he has not seen. Like, and, man, like I said, I trained with him before. I fared well then, you know? And I was, like, a little boy. So now, I mean, I've learned so much stuff, and I've been training so much stuff on my, like, my feet, like, my elbows, because I'm really good on the ground. But me on the ground is, like, that's like an ever evolving thing. I can just keep evolving. Cause with my coach Harry, we fire off on so many cylinders. So we're always training on the ground and we're always improving. But like I've spent the last year just totally since I've been in Bellator, cause I was fighting Ricky Bandejas. I spent like the last year focusing on like my striking, you know what I mean? Cause they were like, everyone was saying, Ricky's going to stuff your takedown. You might have to stand with them. So I was ready to stand with them for the whole 15 minutes. You know what I mean? And I had to beat him in a kickboxing match.
Right.
Yeah.
Juan, I'm going to put pressure on him, you know, like, and I'm not shying away from it. You know, I've said it in every interview and I want him to know because he likes to like touch gloves back up and, you know, he moves around, runs away, kind of avoids until he doesn't want to. He doesn't engage until he really wants to. And like, but me, man, I'm putting pressure on him. Like, I won't take a back step. I'm going to. Well, you know, much respect to him, but I'm hunting him down. I'm going to be tracking him from the moment we start to the end. I feel like I'm not even going to be the one that has to going to have to do the shooting. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I feel like I'm going to be pressuring him. I'm very, very accurate. Watching Ricky Bandejas fight him, like, I mean, he fought some guys, like, no disrespect to Dantas and Corrales. And I think Corrales is real good, too. I don't really know if he won that fight, you know, even, but Dantas, like, I think he did well that fight, but I think he's like, really should be like 1-3 in his last four. I don't even really think he beat Ricky because like Ricky was hurting him and then he would just like mat return him and control position.
Sure.
Like, you know,
yeah. It was really just a lot of control time. That was all that one. That
yeah.
Fight.
And he thinks, but I'm going to be tracking him like Ricky did, but in a smarter way. Like I'm going to be cutting him off because just the way I cut Ricky off, you know, like, I'm going to be cutting him off, pressuring him, if he thinks that like he can grab a hold of me and just like kind of control, he's, you know, he's where he rests, man, I'm a nightmare. So I don't think he's resting. Like, he's the one that says he's got like a lot more cardio and stuff, but I truly see me tracking him, all that movement. He's going to get tired. He's going to try to clinch and wrestle because that's what he knows. And that's not going to be good for him. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm going to make him look bad. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, I'm trained to make him look bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So if I don't get him out of there and like catch him, because if he wants to engage with me and we do tie up with each other, I mean, I will wrap him up. I'm telling you. But if it doesn't go that way and he wants to like kind of avoid and avoid and avoid, well, I'm going to be pressuring him. And eventually I see him shooting. You know what I mean? I see me catching him with really clean boxing. You know, he throws wide, I throw straight. And I see me hitting his chin. I see me hitting him a lot. You know what I mean? Just because of the way our styles match up. It's a really good style matchup for me, to be honest with you.
I think it is too. And I think one of the key things is that if you follow him online at all, he seems to try to be, it looks like he's probably in the best shape that he's ever been in, which to me would be an indicator of how much you're living rent free in that head of his, because he realizes I'm going to have to get to myself to be the best version of myself to be competitive here. So you said that you've trained with him before, and you may or may not, you know, if you're talking about the training.
We don't talk.
Right.
That's an unforgiving thing. We don't talk about training and, you know, just by my demeanor and stuff, I mean, we could tell, you know.
Right.
I've walked the walk once before.
Right. May or may not, right? May or may not. So you may or may not be living, in, you know, with some headspace there. But here's the thing, right, is that you're drawing out the best version of him. So there can be no excuse come Saturday night, because it's evident that the dude has put in the hours for sure. So, you know, obviously we can't look past anybody for any reason whatsoever, but your rise in Bellator has been meteoric, to say the least. Did you expect it to go this way once somebody gave you a shot? Did you know that once somebody saw you, that was it? You know, a guy commented, "We bet you at Ricky fight at +350. Had I known what was before me, I would have leveraged the house, man. So come on. I mean, what, you know, you got this just living within you, this championship mentality. Where's this coming from? Where are we going?"
Yeah, man. Like, I've taken over every promotion. Like, it's kind of cool to be at the belt already, because I think it was like I was in King of the Cage for like 3 or 4 fights, and then I took the belt. All my amateurs, I took, and I'm a belt collector. I've collected every belt I've ever been in, and I finished guys similar ways. So I knew when I got the opportunity, I was gonna take it, and I knew just watch Ricky's fights, man. I really studied Ricky, and I seen where, like, I knew if I got 2 underhooks on him, I would dominate him just because of the way he's fought other people. You know what I mean? I just know my upper body, I'm strong, man. I'm telling you, I'm like, there was times where I trained with Johnny Hendricks, man. I was on Johnny Hendricks' back, and I was a nightmare for that guy. He fought George St. Pierre at welterweight. You know what I mean? So right. I thought, like, Ricky's body, he was skinny in the upper body. So I knew when I got that opportunity, like, I just knew if I get a hold of him, I'm going to run through him. You know what I mean? So I knew when I got the opportunity, I'd make the most of it. And then the next fight was Isaiah Chapman. Isaiah took the fight on 8 days' notice, and I thought that was just not, you know, like, because Dominic Mazzotta pulled off. I knew I can capitalize on that because 8 days isn't enough time to get ready for me, you know. And then with Yuki Matoya, I look at it one by one, you know. And then Yuki Matoya, he's fought a lot of fights at 25. He hasn't been finished in 8 years and all this stuff. But I knew, like, Yuki Matoya is a grappler, and you know, I'm like one of the best grapplers in the whole entire gym. You know what I mean? Like, sure. The whole area, not even just the gym. So it was like, I knew I would fight him in ways that they would be advantageous towards myself. So, you know, I took it one by one, and now me taking this fourth one, it's now Juan, and I'm taking it, you know, one at a time and not looking over him. I'm looking almost through him because I need to go out there and do what I do in order to, basically run him over. Like, I got to put him away in order to not let him, you know, do damage to me. You know what I mean? If,
sure.
You know, so
you've got this insane championship mentality. I mean, from the moment you came on, talked about how you're going to cut him off, how you want to do this in a way that's going to protect your face, but also get the job done, not be this wild man that's trying to make a statement. You've already made your statement to where the stage has brought you. I want to ask you this, and I don't usually like asking this because I'm in the same type of mentality where you got to look at what's right in front of you first before you kind of forecast. Yeah. You get that shiny belt. You get that massive check. Are we taking a COVID-free vacation or what are we doing?
No, man. You know, if, once I get that belt, man, and this money, I'm honestly going to – I have a few guys that I train with back home. We're going to just go try to find some more gyms to train at and try to just branch out and, like, continue growing. Like, that doesn't mean I'm leaving my gym or anything. That just means I really want to go, like, visit some other gyms, train with some other 35-pounders. You know, earlier in the year, I went to train with Frankie Edgar, Cody Garbrandt, like those guys. I'm thinking about, like, maybe trying to stop out at America Top Team, seeing what those guys are. You know, I think Marlon's down there. He's a good dude. I met him earlier in the year. Even Ricky, man, you know what I mean? Now that he's lost, he's not in my way. If I could get the belt, man, I wouldn't mind checking out. You know, I met King Mo out at Japan, so I wouldn't mind going out there and, like, just taking a training trip, you know, not really going on vacation. I want to go take a training trip. And that's what I'm saying, man. I want to go out there and run this guy over so I'm healthy, man, you know. Like I said, I don't want to take weeks off and months off. I want to, you know, what I'm planning on doing is I want to go out there and beat him. And I want to just go get better so I can fight Sergio, you know. Sergio was he was in the first days I ever came to Jackson Wink, they were both there. So I trained with these guys. Sergio, I got him I helped him get ready for Brandon Marino years ago. Okay. And, like, and I'm a monster on the back. So, like, they needed someone that's a good someone that's real good on the back to help him out. So I helped him out. And he was – we're, like, only 2 days – I think we're only, like, 2 days apart in our birthdays and stuff. So we're, like – we kind of, like – I don't know. We kind of, like, are know each other and stuff in that sense. You know, we were training together. So, yeah, he's lined up next. And – you know, I just want to keep continuing to get better so I can get these names, man, you know. Like, I really want I really want Archuleta's name. I want that finish next to it, you know what I mean? And then that's what I think I'm going to go try to get Sergio by the end of the year.
As long I like that Sergio fight for you. I think it's a good showcase of your skills all around. And then I really like you in that Sergio fight because, in my opinion, him and his brother get their hair cut too much. And that drives me nuts that they get their hair cut like once a week. My man, you got to let it grow just a little bit. Now, listen, I'm way overdue for a haircut. I'm not talking any shit because I got that quarantine cut right now. No. I'm saying, my man, literally they get their hair cut every like 5 days. That's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, man. And I don't get my hair cut all like that, man. Just like for the fights and stuff. But I'm more or less thinking like with that fight, you know, I think he's tough too, but I just feel like I match up against any guy that's a 125-pounder. You know what I mean? Like, he was a 25-pounder forever, man. You know, I'm massive compared to him. Like, I don't think he'd ever be able to stop anything. Like, my takedowns, nothing. Like, you see what Ricky was able to take him down and stuff. Like, then you compare me to Ricky, you know? It's like, the odds on that fight, if it ever were released, I mean, it's got to be, it would be through the roof if you were a real diehard fan. Now, the thing that what's different about me is that I'm not necessarily known to the world. So it's like, I'm a killer. You know what I mean? I'm a real killer out there. And I've trained with the best guys in the world and I've beaten the best guys in the world, not just in out there, but in the gym. That's what's given me the confidence to go do what I do out there. But I'm not so well known. So these big opportunities here are really my coming out party to like the normal fans and like the people that kind of are like counting you out. You know what I mean? Like the diehard fans, though, you know, there's a reason why I keep seeing that -130 on this betting line. There's a reason why that the diehard fans and the bookies understand it. But like the casual fans of just MMA, they see the knockouts and they see that type of stuff, but they don't see the techniques. They don't see like the flawlessness. They don't see the type of work that I'm doing. You know what I mean? It happens so fast that it's like it's easy to look over, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, this is the most value-packed line I've seen you at outside of the Ricky fight. Like I said, against Bendeas, you were
– I think I was a dog in that one.
Yeah, you were plus 350, man. You were plus 350. So now, like – and then the fight after that, you were like minus 400. And then your last fight, it was damn near minus 1100. And I just – you know,
yeah,
I love you, man, but look, minus 1100, man, I can't make a whole lot of money on that. But minus 130? Come on, man. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm playing some serious money on you.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend, man, the mother of my child, we're still a great relationship. We're friends and stuff. But, you know, unfortunately it didn't work out with us, but she put money down on the Ricky fight. She put like, dude, I don't even want to tell you guys how much she won. She won in the 20,000s, man. She put a lot of money. She put a lot of money down on me. And but she was with me before, you know, I think I had 20 something fights. So she was with me for all those fights. So she understood it to a different degree that like these other people did. And she understood like me having the opportunity, like, man, I'm telling you, a kid like me, I keep saying it in all my interviews, like, you don't waste opportunities like this, you know. And it would have to be like a real lucky shot and or a real lucky something, you know what I mean, for me to waste that opportunity to really break my focus, I think, and to get me out of there. And not to mention, man, you know, I really never been knocked down in the gym. I've never been dropped. I've never actually been wobbled. So it's like, and I box a lot. I do a lot of boxing with professional boxers back home. Alex Castellano, Solomon Renfro, he's fought on CFFC. That dude's like a middleweight welterweight. I spar him, you know what I mean? And like, that's what's given me the opportunity. You know, I feel like all these guys I fight, me and Sal talked on the phone the other day, and it's like, they all have the same game plan. And I think this guy might have a little bit of a different game plan. I think he's going to run away, low kick, overhand right, run away. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Sure, sure.
But it's always to try to land that one shot. You know what I mean? And this is the first time I heard someone say, you know, they're going to grind me out. And, you know, but I'm excited for that because I want some engagement, man. You know, the guys that – the times I freaking – it takes me a while. It's those guys that like shy away and then they hold on for dear life and stuff like that. I don't want to fight like that. I want to fight a guy that wants to give it back. You know, me and Tony Gravely, we went at it and like that kid wanted to give it back, but there's a reason why I caught him with an elbow and then could catch him with a guillotine so fast, 90 seconds, because, and same with Yuki Matoya, because they're giving back. They want to engage back. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So Let you've been super generous with your time. I don't want to keep you too long, man. So obviously
you're quarantining, man. I'm fine, bro.
Okay. Cool. Well, maybe we might have you help break down some of these fights this weekend that aren't yours.
Yeah, sure.
we'll go over some of these real quick, but just want to ask you real quick, the way that Bellator takes care of their fighters is something that's sort of become, you know, like unsung folklore. You hear that Bellator is really great about taking care of their fighters as an organization. Obviously, I know that's your employer. You're not going to say anything negative to begin with. But even still, are the rumors true? Is grass really green in the Bellator family? They taking care of you? How's everything looking over there? Because I know you met a couple different places.
I keep it real, man. I keep it real, too. I think I did an interview after my last October fight, and I said something about money, you know, because I felt like I was the number one guy in the division. So, you know, I wanted more money, you know. So then they restructured my contract. But even when I didn't, prior to wanting more money, they were paying me like more money than the UFC would anyway. So
Right. They're
my manager Ali, you know, he really did get me a really good contract. When I first got in, I signed for 4 fights. I did 2 and then I re-signed for a new structured contract. So I mean, this new contract is, you know, they gave me opportunity to fight Ryzen and then now for the belt. So it definitely is, man, the amount of money I could make right now with Bellator. I mean, the amount of money I will make with Bellator is I mean, I know guys in the UFC that are undefeated that they ain't touching it. You know what I mean? Not even close to what I'm getting. So it's like they take care of their guys, man. And I know a lot of other guys that actually are very happy with their with the promotion, but, you know, as in Bellator and how much they've given them. You know, my roommate, Christian Edwards, he's from Jackson Wink. Mm-hmm. He's like knocking people out like left and right. But I think he's been compensated. He's 3-0, but he got been compensated 5 times because 2 times a guy didn't make weight and then the other guy just didn't show up. So they paid him his full purse, man. You know, you don't see that at the, I mean, UFC, someone doesn't make weight or the guy can't fight, you know, they might give him their show money or something, man. So it really is green over here, man. And I'm happy to be signed with them, man. I want to, I have big plans for him. You know, I want to be I think the longest reigning champion's been 2 defenses, man. So I really want to get this belt and then focus on trying to, create a legacy. You know, I want to be the number one, bantamweight that ever walked through, the Bellator roster. You know, I want to be the number one, in the history books. You know, I'm trying to I have opportunity to do that, you know, being undefeated, being on a record that I have and the finishes I have, you know. I go out there and finish him. I'm 14-0 with 11 finishes, you know. I can't be denied after that, you know.
Absolutely. All right, so we put your social channel up here. Is there any other place, any sponsors you want to put people in the direction of, anything like that while we got you?
No, man. Just thank you to all my sponsors, man. I got a big banner out there, and thank you to my manager, my family, man. You know, my daughter, I can't wait to see her on Saturday. So I bought my mom a hotel and my family a hotel so they can get out here, and they're going to bring my daughter. So I'm really excited just to, I've been away at camp, dude. So I really just want to go out there, finish them, and want to go get some food somewhere in this casino, take my family out for some food, man, and just hold my daughter, man. It's been too long. It's the longest time I think I've ever been away from her since she's been born. So
that's a hurt
that,
piece.
Man, you know, I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. All right. So you're admittedly, you are the first world title challenger that we've had on the show. So after Saturday night, I'm just going to pencil you in now. You don't have to say it, but I'm going to pencil you in. You're going to be our first world champion.
Yeah, man, and I'm honored to be on here, man. You know, like I said, I'm not really – I flew under the radar forever, so I'm not really into these, like, big media. You know, I've never been on Ariel Helwani's or nothing like that. You know, I'm not really – I like to show
– That's my sworn enemy.
Yeah, man, you know, he might be my sworn enemy when I get this belt. I don't think I even want – I don't even know if I'm going to want to go on that show.
Right.
I think he had Ricky on the Monday after he smoked Gallagher. And I smoked Ricky in a minute. That's like a third of the time it took him, you know? And he, you know, no love at all, like my name. So,
right.
But I like to show love to the smaller, smaller media outlets, man. I want to try to, I'm glad you said I'm the first title challenger that you've had on because, you know, I want to, be able to, you know, encourage other guys that, you know, are champions and other people to jump on the show. You know what I mean? I know how you guys also have been following and there's a few social media accounts that I see that are diehard fans, and I really respect that because they understand, they see it as in the same way as I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, and you know, honestly, a lot of it comes from what we see inside the cage and what we see outside of the cage. And you know, there's a lot of people that can walk a certain walk inside, but they can't do it outside, or vice versa. And it's one of those things, man, where when you see somebody that possesses a level of talent, possesses a level of motivation and determination, and then you see that it's right there, man. We've been watching the rise, and then admittedly a little bit of a soft spot in my heart because, like I said, my brother called
New
York Rise years ago, and I'm like, look, man, you've been on my radar since then, man, and you know, I can't tell you. I'm not going to say anything. I was a little more high pitched whenever you agreed to come on the show, whenever I called Trey to tell him you were coming.
Yeah, man, for sure, dude, for sure. No, wait, one more thing before we stop talking about Archuleta. I was going to say something about, you said something about his body and stuff earlier. You know, first off, I don't know how someone's body looks like that at 33 years old, because I'm 27 and I'm super, super healthy, man. And I don't look like that. So if you guys all seen TJ's last fight, you know, whatever happened with that, you know, believe me, it does not doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. But I was also thinking I know he's keeping his weight down and all this other stuff. It really does not look healthy for me, if you ask me, that he has to cut down to 135 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, I see his weight and I know he's made 146. I think he was overweight in SG in the pre-check, so he had to go run and stuff.
Right.
But then I know he fought Ricky at 136, but I'm not sure if he's made 135 in like many, many years. But I think he needs his body to look like that in order to even come close to the weight, because I mean, he'd probably be like 148, 150 right now. He's still got like 13 to 15 pounds. And I just don't think that's, you know, super healthy when you're going against a guy like me. You know what I mean? I really don't.
He'll have zero excuses come Saturday night.
Zero excuses, unless the excuse might be the 35 thing, you know. What I'm worried about.
He can go ahead and have that. So, all right, Patchy, appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Anytime, thank you so much.
And
I appreciate you guys, bro.
We'll hit you up after Saturday night. You know, I don't like to say best of luck because the hay's already in the barn, but go get what's yours, man.
Yeah, chance favors a prepared mind, man. And after the fight, man, you know, no matter what, man, I'm always willing to come back on the show. And, you know, if you guys see, give a good shout out. I mean, I'm going to give a good look out for my boy Solomon Renfro. He's 6-0. He just fought in CFFC. He's going to be on the Contender Series soon, or he might get signed to Bellator or somewhere else. He's another guy you guys should probably reach out to, man. He's a really big, I think he's 10-1 as an amateur, 6-0 as a pro. He's on the same trajectory as me. So, you know, give that guy a shout, man. And I'm sure he'd love to come on sometime as well.
All right. Letters in the mail. We'll take care of it. All right, Patch. Appreciate you, man. We'll see you. We'll see you after Saturday night, man. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks, brother. I appreciate you.
Trey Van Buskirk, dude, what are we
doing?
Like
I just went to church, man. I'm so motivated, both from what Taylor said to what Patchy said. I just want to burst through a fucking wall right now, man.
Yeah, I think he's going to murder Juan Archuleta. Can we just go ahead and say he's going to murder him? Is that okay? Yeah. Can we say murder? All right, we're going to go with murder here. All right, so that took about those interviews took about 40 minutes longer than we were initially anticipating. So let's dive into this UFC card real quick.
Yeah,
we do have a UFC card that we want to cover for those that are hanging around for the bets. Still appreciate you guys. So let's get right into this, man. First fight of the main card on Saturday night. Keep in mind, Taylor is fighting on Friday night, mm-hmm. September 11th, and Patchy is fighting on September 12th, Saturday night. They're doing the classic Bellator back-to-back cards. But the UFC card this weekend, listen, we had a main event fall apart, but here we are. Michelle Waterson taking on Angela Hill is the main event. But first fight on the main card, Kyle Nelson at 13-3, taking on your boy, Billy Q, Billy Quarantillo at 14-2. Trey, what are we thinking here? What do we like? What don't we like? Where is this fight going?
Well, here's the thing, and I'll put a little PSA out there for everyone. While Dale and I were aligned on our fights last week, there's a little bit of confliction in our picks this week. So this week we'll be doing the Beard versus the Hawaiian. I'm ready to absolutely stomp you.
Okay, well, fucking quit talking about it. Tell me what your pick is.
No, I'm not like these other championship mentality guys. I like to talk a bunch of shit and then perform.
Okay, well, go ahead and perform. Who's your pick?
All right, here we go. So we all watched Billy Quarantino's last fight, obviously, against Spike Carlisle. That was a totally unique fight for Billy. Spike is an overtly aggressive dude. We saw that in the fight. But Billy is actually normally that Floridian. He is an aggressive style fighter. He's a guy that likes to get in there, lead with his head, try and get some ground and pound going and do it in a devastating fashion. Unfortunately, when he was met with Spike Carlisle, he was met with this like alpha male of energy, this super aggressor. One thing we saw from the Spike Carlisle fight is a lot of durability. That was a great thing. Spike's got some heavy hands. He's got that aggression. He was able to weather that storm, get through some submissions out there. I think that Billy's got a great fight IQ for how young he is. And I think going into this fight with Kyle, I just don't think Kyle's at the level. I think that was a great stepping stone, the Spike Carlisle fight. I really like Billy in this fight.
Yeah, we're going to disagree on some fights tonight. This isn't one of them. I think the odds makers have this one dead to rights. I like Billy here. Minus 250 might be a little bit steep of a price for him. I think Kyle's got a pretty decent chance. He's going to be the physically stronger guy come fight night. They don't call him the monster for no reason. My man is a beast, right? But I do believe that, you know, like you said, Billy has the higher fight IQ. Interesting to see how the smaller cage comes into play here when you have guys that will probably try to throw hands for a little bit, but I do believe this will be largely be a grappling exchange, a lot of clinch work up against the cage, jockeying for position. I don't think that they're necessarily going to stand there and trade. I don't know necessarily that Billy Q is going to get the fight that he's looking for, but I think that at a minus 250, I think the odds makers have this one right. I'm not totally sold on Kyle at a plus 195 to go after him. More than likely going to throw Billy Q into a parlay, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of me versus you, this is one that we agree on. Billy Q, you know, getting it done some way or another, most likely probably by decision or submission. I could see him getting a quick submission while they're dry, actually.
I can see it inside the distance play. You got to look, Nelson's had 16 fights. Only five of them have actually gone the distance. So,
right.
I mean, he's one that's going to utilize the blitz. I think that he knows, based on, again, the Spike Carlisle fight for Billy Q, the blitz is probably not the best thing. He'll be a little bit more technical, but like you said, dry bodies, tight submissions. That's a good call.
Ooh, dry bodies. Dry bodies and tight submissions.
It's getting late, dude. Everything just turns sexual.
That's right. All right, next fight. Ed Short Fuse Herman taking on Slow Mike Rodriguez here. This is where you and I are going to differ for the very first time. Ed Herman coming here, plus 200. Mike Rodriguez, minus 255. Trey, I'm taking the ginger. I'm taking Ed Herman here, the veteran savvy. I'm taking him at plus 200. I know. Look, I understand. It on paper, it doesn't seem to make sense, but it does when you look at Ed Herman, who he's fought, how durable he is, and the fact that Mike Rodriguez is exactly how the name puts him. He's slow, and that plays into Ed Herman. Are you really want to tell me that the two guys are going to stand there and just exchange one and two punch combos at a time? Do you really want to go against a guy like Ed Herman when you're both just going to sit there and exchange one, maybe two shots at a time?
Well, no, I'm more so, you can probably see if you're watching on the live stream, my facial expressions are because I chose Ed Herman. I sent you that.
Oh, did you?
I did, yes. And the reason I'll tell you this, while he is a dinosaur, he's been in the promotion for 14 years. 14 years. It's absolutely nuts. He's fought. This is his 40th professional fight. His wrestling's great. I mean, Taylor actually trains with him at ATT Portland. He's got amazing wrestling. Rodriguez, you got to watch out, though. The guy's a different beast. He's got great boxing, great Muay Thai. The one thing you got to watch out is he's got this great overhand right, too. Prochnio is a person that, we fought three fights ago, didn't look very great. He knocked Prochnio out, lights out. I think we're going to see Herman put this up against the cage, wear him down, have him wear that excess weight, drain the cardio, maybe get a submission in there.
Here's what I love about Ed Herman. The MMA community loves Ed Herman. He's a fighter's fighter, right? Anybody that's been in the game for a long time loves Ed Herman, respects what he does. And I like people like that because it says something about, one, the nature of his character, but two, his skill set. If you suck, the MMA community isn't going to embrace you and talk about how you're just that you're an OG, right? You don't earn OG status without putting in work. Ed Herman puts in that work. He's going to get it done. Plus 200, dude. I didn't know. I'm going to have to go back and look at our text messages. I'm pretty sure you said that Ed Herman sucks and that you want to go with Rodriguez here.
No, I was the only man that actually sent you my picks. You didn't send me shit.
Well, I didn't, because I initially read them and I said, I hate these, and went the other direction. So let's keep things moving, man. Andrea Lee -315 taking on Roxanne Modafferi. Modafferi had her moment in the sun here, but as it stands right now, she's sitting at a +255. Andrea Lee -315. Look, dude, it's a women's fight. It's going to be pretty close to 50-50, but I don't know if Modafferi has it done. Listen, I think Modafferi is going to have the better gas tank here. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to have the better submissions. But I don't want to touch this fight, man. Can we just avoid this one? Or do we have to play something? If you're going to make me play it, I'm going to play Andrea Lee and Billy Q together. That's a two-person parlay, and I'm walking away.
Yeah, that's the only value you're going to get. I think a lot of people were high on Roxanne, obviously, after the...
Shevchenko.
No. Sorry, Macy Barber fight. I'm not saying the Macy Barber fight, but that was very one-sided in the fact that Macy Barber blew out her ACL in the first 5 seconds of the fight. You know, while, you know, Roxanne's very technically sound, Andrea's got a great gas tank. I love the women's flyweight division. I just have to go ahead and say that. With Jennifer Maia beating Calderwood outside of Shevchenko, that division is wide open. Anyone could be that next contender. Anyone can vie for that next title shot in that flyweight division. I think that Andrea's had a good run. I think everyone's been hyped on her for a while. I think she's got good finishes. I just don't see Roxanne getting this done. I don't think she has the strength. While she's better on the ground and more technically sound, she doesn't have the strength to hold it down on the ground. I think Andrea's got great stand-up. She's got great takedown defense. She's going to outpoint her. This is it.
Here's how I know you and I run in two different circles, right? I mean, we're here. We do this together, right? But you see that name and you say Andrea. Mm. I see that name and I see Andrea.
Mm.
So the type of people that are in my life that have a name like that, it's Andrea, not Andrea. You got that. See, you got that exotic SoCal, you know, those type of women. Like, that's what you got, those women around you where people are names like highfalutin shit like Andrea. We don't have that here. Like, that's not a thing here. It's Andrea.
Andrea, that's so hardcore. That's not that's not a beautiful woman's name, man. That's so hardcore. That comes with a punch.
that was the idea, you know. Yeah, I think, yes. I mean, if you look at a chick like Andrea Lee, I mean, that's yeah, you know, she's from Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you're not getting Andrea from, no. You know, Andrea, Melania, Victoria. Like, you're getting all these fancy I mean, you name chicks that sound like they should be hanging out with cartel bosses. I'm talking about Andrea that works at the Waffle House on Tuesdays. You know, that's who I'm talking about. So
yeah, I know that's all American of you. I appreciate right. that, but I'm just trying to put some flair.
Right.
Oh, there we go.
All right, dude, let's keep things moving right along. I appreciate your flair for the dramatic. I do last names, you do first names.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good. Here's a great one for you. Odman Azatar taking on Kama Worthy. Listen, Kama Worthy, Pittsburgh's own, the Berg. Taking on Otman Azatar, the undefeated 12-0 fighter. Azatar at a slight underdog plus 105. Kama Worthy is on the map now, man, as a favorite. Minus 135, first time in the UFC as a favorite, coming up against an undefeated fighter as a favorite. You're Team Worthy on this one, are you not?
When are people going to give Kama Worthy his due?
It's not going to be today. No.
I have to say, this is quintessential. This is exactly how Kama Worthy was birthed into the UFC. They've never leaned into him. He was a sacrificial lamb of sorts when he went up against John McDessie. He was. When they brought him in as a last-minute replacement against John McDessie, the whole plan was, hey, let's just do a filler, and he's just going to get worked. Didn't happen. Flip the script. Kama Worthy wins that fight. A year later, he takes on Luis Pena. Luis Pena was on this high of a train of all sorts. This is the O'Malley hype train. Luis Pena comes in, and what? Kama Worthy shows that, hey, you know, you're striking, you're unorthodox, length, your lankiness, all that stuff. I'm going to negate that. I'm going to get in close. I'm going to utilize my clinch. I'm going to make this fight a little bit dirty boxing. I'm going to come out the victor. That's what happens. I think this is a guy that fights dirty, but he's technically sound, and he's got a great IQ, and he's got heart, man. I know that's a weak thing to put into bets, but he's got heart. This guy is freaking came from the foundation that is mixed martial arts, and now he's on the main card. Let's go.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, one thing that you and I have tried very hard not to do is correct one another, but I have to do this for the sake of your argument here, because it's me versus you, is that Kama Worthy has never fought John McDessie.
Yes, he did. Came.
No, he didn't. He came yes, in like no. Trey.
Yes, he did.
There's many hills to die on. This is not one you want to die on. He came in last second and fought Devontae Smith and knocked out Devontae Smith.
No, I'm going to die on this one, dude.
Do you really? You really want to die on this one?
Yep.
When?
Someone look it up. Put it in the comments. I'm going to post it.
Okay, so Devontae Smith, he knocked out in the Cormier the DC fight, their second one on that card, and then he beat Luis Pena. He did not fight John McDessie. If he did, it wasn't in the UFC. It may have been in CES. It may have been in CFFFC. It was not in the UFC. And I don't like to, again, I don't like doing this, but you're literally coming up against an encyclopedia here, and I'm telling you, he has not fought John McDessie in the UFC. And John McDessie has been in the UFC for probably the better half of 7 years now.
Okay, keep going while I pull this up.
Okay.
You can tell me why Kama Worthy is not going to win this fight.
He's not going to win this fight because Otman Azatar is a Caucasus Mountain warrior, and he's going to destroy Kama Worthy because Kama Worthy is going to come out there with that chin sky high, with that frantic, herky-jerky essence of Keith Jardine hand movement, and he's going to try low calf kicks. And when he does so, Otman's going to catch him with a check left or an overhand right, and he's going to put him to sleep. That mohawk is bouncing off the apex canvas. He's getting slept. Otman Azatar by knockout at some point in time in that fight. Otman Azatar 13-0. The O will not go on Saturday night.
I'm so embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed? Did you go up against the encyclopedia and lose? Do you see the size of my skull?
Oh, man.
I haven't missed a fight in 20 years, Trey. Don't go against the skull.
Why was that a fragment of my imagination then? Why? Well, I don't just dream of two dudes fighting. I saw this in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so
that's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
It is what it is. It is what it is. And the comment sections never lie. So, you know, there you have it. So, all right, let's wrap through this main event real quick, Trey. And then, we'll run through the prelims real quick and then put a bow on this. We're at an hour and 20 minutes. This is longer than most of our episodes go. I know a lot of people like it, but, you know, we're just going to – it's getting to be 11 o'clock my time Eastern, and that's pretty late for a guy that's got to work still. So let's touch on this main event. Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie herself, it's taken on Angela Hill. Michelle Waterson, minus 105. Angela Hill, minus 125. So we're approaching pick 'em here, right? Slight underdog. for Michelle Waterson. Look, man, Angela Hill has been on a tear. She's looked better, better, better. Beat Claudia Gadelha for my money, even though the judges gave it to Gadelha for whatever reason. I don't know what they were watching. But here we are, Angela Hill getting that main event spot after the the Teixeira Santos fight fell apart. Here we are, man. Main event, somebody put it out there, first black woman to ever headline a UFC event, Angela Hill. I think she gets it done. This is where you and I disagree. I'm betting with my brain and not with my heart. Mom Champ is not happening. I love Michelle Waterson, but Mom Champ will never be. Angela Hill's getting it done. I don't necessarily love an inside the distance play here because both of these women are incredibly durable, but I do expect a war of attrition, one of which will be won by cardio, where Angela Hill is superior to Michelle Waterson.
You're out of your mind. All right, I'm going to be very, very particular with the words I choose and make sure that I convey this as truthfully as possible.
Okay.
I find this interesting that this was originally slated for 3 rounds, right? Mm-hmm. Now we've got 5 rounds. Now, if you look at Michelle Waterson, she's been in 2 main events. So she's had 2 5-round stints behind her. Mm-hmm. Angela Hill, she's never had it. Now, while Angela Hill is a very active fighter, she's the Donald Cerrone, you could say, of the female fighters.
Oh,
interesting. Going into the 4th and 5th round is a totally different beast. The thing is, the blueprint's out for Angela. And unfortunately, it's something that's it's the central focus for Waterson. Bring it to the ground. Angela is not good on the ground. We all know that. We know she can strike, but Waterson is great. She's got a great takedown. She's got great judo. She's got okay submissions. They're very basic submissions, but they're ones that can get it done in a women's fight. I think Waterson, coming off 2 losses, she's going to get back to the foundation, the ABCs, which is going to be strike enough to get within distance, be able to clinch, bring this to the ground, submission. I actually see inside the distance, and I know I never say inside the distance for women's fights, but a 5-round fight, there's a chance.
I think over 4.5. I think 4.5 is where it's at right now. And if I'm not mistaken, over 4.5 is at a -2+, like at a -220. Listen, I know you're talking about Karate Hottie's ABCs, but I think you're just thinking about her T's and A. Because there's no way she gets this done, dude. There's just no, I mean, listen, I don't want to say there's no way. It's women's MMA. That's a toss up. That would be foolish for me to say there's no way she gets it done. No way she gets it done would be Carla Esparza beating Amanda Ribas. That's no way she gets it done. What you call it? Michelle Waterson has a decent chance of winning this fight. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just think Angela Hill gets it done, and that it is what it is. So it is. Agree to disagree, bet the beard, you know, so here we go. Let's run through these prelims real quick, all right? We were going to dedicate a little bit more time to it, but, you know, the interviews are what they are, and we're happy about it. All right, we've got women's MMA kicking off the main card. Justine, I shit myself in the cage. Kish at 7-2, taking on Sabina Mazo. Mazo is fancying herself as a little bit of a prospect here, Trey. She's at 8-1 as a pro here. Look, she's going to be the favorite going into fight night. What do you think here? Does Justine Kish get any sort of love coming back after a long layoff? You know, it's admittedly, she's a +200 underdog. Sabina Mazo is at a -255. Is this a women's MMA fight that's worth putting money on?
It's a tough one. I mean, Kish has been around for forever. She's a good kickboxer. You know, she's tough. Mazo, though, you know, she's won her last 2 UFC outings. She's an up-and-coming prospect. She's definitely going to come in with a little bit better cardio. She's going to be able to outwork, outpoint. I don't think that there's much weight to be put in this. This is, you know, smaller cage, you know, vet versus a prospect. It's a tough one. So I'd stay away from this. I am leaning Sabina in this fight, but definite toss-up.
All right, well, it's me versus you, so give a pick.
I'm taking Mazo.
All right, Mazo here as well. For all the reasons you said, I just don't think Justine Kish is that good. So I'm taking Mazo as well. All right, Brian Barberina at 14-7, taking on Anthony Ivey at 8-3. Brian Barberina went on a bit of a tear a couple years ago, still sitting at a big favorite here against Anthony Ivey, -270. Anthony Ivey +210. I think this is a weird spot for Brian Barberina. This is the type of fighter that could actually beat him based on the fact that Brian Barberina seems to do well with a crowd behind him. seems to do well when the bright lights are on him. And when he's just relegated to this idea of hanging out in an empty octagon with nobody around against a guy that he may or may not be taking that seriously, Anthony Ivey plus 210 is a live dog here. But I don't necessarily know if I want to take him and go that far against the chalk. Probably going to lean an inside the distance play here, but for the sake of me versus you, Beard versus Hawaiian, I'm going to take Brian Barberina. I'm going to go safely chalk right here.
I got to take the safe pick as well. I say that because he's the toughest nose 170 on the planet. Ivy, there's just not much to talk about. I mean, he got KO'd in less than a minute. Granted, it was a short notice fight, but he got KO'd in less than a minute on a short notice fight. I don't have enough notes on him. Brian is a tough person to put away. He's a wild man. He's extremely durable. I got to go that way.
Okay. All right. Moving things along. Frank the Crank Camacho, 22-9, taking on Brock Weaver. Pink slips in the mail for either one of these guys if they lose this fight. This is an absolutely must-win fight for both guys. Brock Weaver at a plus 170, Frank Camacho minus 210. This is going to be my biggest underdog that I take on the night. I'm taking Brock Weaver plus 170 against Frank Camacho. Frank Camacho's chin has been disappearing lately. Brock Weaver hits hard. Cardio advantage, Frank Camacho. Power advantage, Brock Weaver. I'm counting on a firefight. I'm counting on Brock Weaver landing, and I'm counting on Frank Camacho going to sleep. Brock Weaver plus 170. Lock it in.
Wow. Okay. It's funny that Roosevelt Roberts is actually on this card because he just submitted, obviously, Brock Weaver in their last bout. You got to remember, though, Brock didn't win his first fight. He won by an illegal knee. He really doesn't have anything to stand on. He got DQ'd in his first. He gets submitted by Roosevelt Roberts in the second. Frank Camacho, you know, while he's 2-5 in the UFC, not stellar, he's literally a pawn for the UFC. He's a placeholder. He's someone you know, put in on the cards. It's a tough one to pick. They're equally skilled. They're equally tough. I think Camacho's had more looks. He's had better experience and better fighters up against him. I'm going to go Camacho on this just because I like the vet savvy, the IQ. I haven't seen anything out of Brock to give a staple for him.
Okay, perfect. All right, Bobby Green taking on Alon Patrick. Quick turnaround for Bobby Green. Bobby Green, 26-10-1. Alon Patrick at 15-2. Definitely a different stylistic matchup than we're used to seeing with Bobby Green fights. They like to feed him stand-up fighters. Bobby Green minus 275. Patrick at a plus 215. Bobby Green admittedly looked pretty good in that Clay Guida fight. I lost some money there. I don't necessarily know if it was as much to like really make me feel confident in how he's going to fare against Alon Patrick here. I do think he's going to have the better cardio come fight night. I'll take Bobby Green here, but not because I like it so much as it is. I think it's safe, and I'm trying to get enough points to beat you on Saturday.
Look at that. Alon Patrick. Patrick, bro. Patrick.
His last name is not Patrick, though. It's Patrick. It is. He's French-Canadian.
I'm going to call it Patrick.
All right, well, go ahead.
I'm not going to take Patrick, though, in this fight. I like Bobby Green. I think, you know, we saw a culmination of a great striking defense against Lando Venato. We saw a great wrestling defense against Clay Guida. I think that he, when you talk about being more well-rounded, that's what Bobby Green is. Alon Patrick has not fought since 2018. New cage, no crowd. That's going to weigh a lot on you. He's a striker, but I do think that Bobby Green's a better striker. So he's going to get frustrated, try to take this thing down to the ground. Bobby Green's got great takedown defense. So again, well-rounded, Bobby Green takes the win.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't love it, but I'll take it. So, all right. Matt Frivola, 8-1-1, taking on Roosevelt Roberts, 10-2. I feel like we talk about Roosevelt Roberts like every 3 weeks, man. Whether he's fighting or not, it's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. This dude constantly shows up in our conversations. He's a 10-2. He's taking on Matt, the steamroller Frivola. Look, man, I don't know what to do with this fight here. I'm going to be honest with you. This one probably has me the most perplexed out of all the fights that we're going to have on Saturday night. It's at a dead pick'em right now. Matt Frivola is just an absolute wrecking machine, or a steamroller, if you will. Roosevelt Roberts, obviously slick boxing, pretty decent submissions. Not great with the wrestling or submission defense, but he has some that he can use. Matt Frivola, notoriously tough to put away. I'm going to lean ever so slightly towards Matt Frivola. And I mean this, like in just the – a pubic hair divided in half. That's how much I'm leaning towards Matt Frivola.
Okay. I think you said it well. Roosevelt Roberts, he doesn't do anything great or good. He just does everything well. He's extremely lanky, utilizes his range, his reach. He's got good submissions. He can snatch up a guillotine or a darce, like, boom. But, you know, he just does everything well. He kind of just falls into place for him. Frivola, on the other hand, things don't fall into place for him. He fucking moves walls. He steamrolls those things, dude. He just freaking comes in, Kool-Aid man, just like, boom, dude, I'm here. The guy's wild. And I think that's what makes me nervous about Frivola, is with that wild striking, you leave yourself to so many vulnerabilities. And all it takes is one quick guillotine up against the cage, one slick darce on the ground, something like that. Roosevelt Roberts, we've seen him snatch those before. He can get this done. I'm going to go with the more conservative pick, I feel, of the two, which is Roosevelt Roberts.
That's fine. And I'm also going to go with a double ginger parlay, too, because I'm taking Frivola and Ed Herman here. So I'm going double gingers here. I'm going gingy two, gingy deuce, okay? Just to let you know, I'm throwing a parlay together. Yeah.
Double ginger.
Right, absolutely. All right, dude, so let's get this. We got two more fights. And then we're going to put a bow on this thing. Julia Avila taking on Sajara Eubanks. We obviously went with Sarge last week. That fight fell apart. Quick rebook against Julia Avila with the panda hair. I like Julia Avila, man. You know, that's a in my heart kind of play. But I still think that Sarge could possibly get this done. What? You think that Julia Avila is going to win this?
I think that Sarge would have won her fight when she was supposed to fight Carol Rosa, because Carol Rosa cannot strike for shit.
Okay.
Julia Avila can actually strike. She's got good striking. She's got some power. When you compare Julia Avila against Carol Rosa, it's not even a question. They're on two different sides of the world. I think that Sarge, all she's going to do is look for the ground. She's got atrocious striking. So I think if Julia can keep this up on the feet, then I think we're in a good spot. So I like Julia, and I think she's at a dog right now.
Who, Julia is?
Yeah.
No, she's a huge favorite. She's a -315 favorite.
How is that possible?
That's the chalkiest of chalk picks for everything.
How is that possible?
You literally just described how it's possible and why you're taking her. You said she's going to dominate everywhere. That's why she's a -305.
The only reason I'm saying that I don't think she was, though, is because she doesn't have any resume really to back it up. Sarge has a crazy extensive resume.
Well, she knocked out. Listen, so Avila knocked out Gina Mazzani, which I'm pretty convinced that Gina isn't a fighter anymore. I like Gina. She seems like a very sweet lady. I just think maybe we might need to find something else to do.
Well, and it's a late notice fight for Julia, so I just don't understand. I'm with Vegas. That's great. I mean, it's not great. I'd like to make money, but
yeah. I'm going Sarge +240. I'll take another big dog. I don't care.
Do it.
Threaten me with a women's huge dog play. I'll do it. I don't care. I'll take Sajara Eubanks by wrestle death, ground and pound. She's going to take Julia's pretty face and just turn it into mush. She's going to starge a fire, man.
All right. I love it.
She's going to send her freaking face through boot camp, Sarge style. All right. Featured prelim, Tyson Nam, 19-11, Matt Schnell, 14-5. I mean, any guy that used to fight on an MTV show,
yes.
you got to take him over a guy like Tyson Nam, right? Tyson Nam at a -120, Matt Schnell at a -110. Look, best body hair in the game right now, I think, goes to a guy like Matt Schnell. That he's got a, you know, his chest looks like my chin, man. Just very cultivated, just very long body hair. I think it's going to be enough to help secure that grip on Tyson Nam, who's going to be slick, and then, just absolutely wrap him up, man. I think Matt Schnell, and I think by decision.
The MTV guys do so well. What's another one? Mayhem? He's doing great. Yeah, he's doing great.
He just got rested again.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tyson Nam's a vet. We all know that. I think the one thing that I get worried about with Tyson Nam is he's prone to getting outworked. Matt Schnell is very he puts out a lot. There's a lot of output with him. I think that Nam's a bit wiser. I think his experience in a small cage and no crowd, it's going to be weird for Nam. But I think that I just like the vet play on this. I think that See, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. I'm a little bit back and forth on this. I know I said Nam at the beginning.
Make your play.
I know.
Make your play.
I'm taking Nam. Taking Nam. The guys, he's on a 4-5 win streak, lost his first two, but his first two were in devastating fashion. He got knocked out by Pantoja. I just see Nam picking him apart as long as it gets done in the first two rounds.
All right, so let's rifle off picks from top to bottom. Beard versus Hawaiian. Put a bow on this thing. Justine Kish versus Sabina Mazo. I'm going Mazo.
Mazo.
Brian Barberina, Anthony Ivey. I'm going Barberina.
Barberina.
Frank Camacho, Brock Weaver. I'm going Weaver.
Camacho.
Green versus Patrick. I'm taking Green.
Green.
Frivola versus Roberts. I'm taking Frivola.
Roberts.
Avila versus Eubanks. I'm taking Eubanks.
Avila.
Nam versus Schnell. I'm taking Schnell.
Nam.
Nelson versus Quarantillo. I'm taking Quarantillo.
Quarantillo.
Herman versus Rodriguez. I'm taking Herman.
Herman.
Lee versus Modafferi. I'm taking Lee.
TNA Watterson. Oh, did you say Lee and Modafferi?
Sorry, bro.
Sorry, you think about Watterson.
You're already
so
thinking
far ahead.
Get your life.
I'm taking Lee.
All right, fair enough. And then Azatar versus Worthy.
Worthy.
All right, and then Watterson versus Hill. I'm taking Hill.
Watterson.
All right, man. That's it. Listen, I appreciate everybody that joined us on the chat. Shout out to our show sponsors, Stay Classy Meats and Allegiance. Be sure to tune in on Friday night, September 11th, and give Taylor Johnson a huge shout out. And obviously, if you take a screenshot of anything like that on the send it to us. We'll gladly repost everything on Insta or whatever you guys want to do. Anytime we can wave that Punchlist MMA banner, absolutely appreciate that. Trey, you have any parting thoughts for the people before we get out of here?
Yeah, I do. People have been lighting up the comments saying, fear the beard, hashtag fear the beard. First off, I'm 1-0, bitches. And not only just that, but I'm 1-0. Let's go.
Fair enough. All right, guys, follow us on all our social media channels if you don't do so already, at Punchlist MMA, just about anywhere you can find it. And then if you want to shoot us an email, chat at Punchlist MMA. Best way to support the show is by supporting our sponsors. Shout out to Stay Classy Meats, shout out to Allegiance. Use our promo codes and save yourself some money. And until then, be good to each other. Shout us out on social media. And then, are we doing a beer money giveaway for this one or no? No. Next week, beer money giveaway. Yep. All right, guys, appreciate you. Thanks.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.